Talk number 27. Can a line of thought or a series of questions induce self-hypnotism? Should it not be reduced to a single point analyzing the unanalyzable, elementary, and vaguely perceived and elusive I? Marsh, yes. It is really like gazing into vacancy or a dazzling crystal of light. Devotee, can the mind be fixed to the point, to that point, and how? Maharshi, if the mind is distracted, ask the question promptly, to whom do these distracting thoughts arise? That takes you back to the I point promptly. Devotee, how long can the mind stay or be kept in the heart? Maharshi, the period extends by practice. Devotee, what happens at the end of the period? Maharshi, the mind returns to the present normal state. Unity in the heart is replaced by variety of phenomena perceived. This is called the outgoing mind. The heart-going mind is called the resting mind. Devotee, is all this process merely intellectual, or does it exhibit feeling predominantly? Maharshi, the latter. Devotee, how do all thoughts cease when the mind is in the heart? Maharshi, by force of will, with strong faith in the truth of the Master's teaching, to that effect. Devotee, what is the good of this process? Maharshi, A, conquest of the will, development of concentration, B, conquest of passions, development of dispassion, C, increased practice of virtue, samatva, equality to all. Devotee, why should one adopt this self-hypnotism by thinking on the unthinkable point? Why not adopt other methods like gazing into light, holding the breath, hearing music, hearing internal sounds, repetition of sacred syllables, pranava, or other mantras? Maharshi, light gazing stupefies the mind and produces catalepsy of the will for the time being, yet secures no permanent benefit. Breath control benumbs the will for the time being only. Sound hearing produces similar results. Unless the mantra is sacred and secures the help of a higher power to purify and raise the thoughts.